History is what we can look back on to remind us of our mistakes, accomplishments, and failures. It's crazy to think that history can entwine itself in others' lives. Great-grandma was entwining her life within Sherman Dairy. Coming to you from LMC English, I am Lydia Smith, and this is the Cold Case Mystery. After suspiciously holding Grandma accountable for something she's not telling me, she finishes her story with something that plays a major part in the podcast. Grandma brings up a story about her childhood.
Because I remember Sherman Dairy was just, well, when those kids were little and we lived out on Phoenix, we used to have our milk delivered from Sherman Dairy.
Yep.
Do you want part of that?
Yeah.
And I can remember when we'd get the milk in the morning, my sister and brother and I would fight to go get it because right on the top of the milk would be cream. And we wanted to see who could get it first to lick it off the cap.
Oh, really?
We used to do that, yeah. But we had milk delivered from Sherman's years and years ago. Yeah. And it was just, I think, and then later on down the road, I think you could get, like, maybe ice cream bars from there or something. I remember us riding our bike up there to get an ice cream bar.
Everything in Grandma's story has relevance with the interview I had with Sherman's. Interviewing the owner of Sherman's, Bob Eisenman, gave accounts of the history of Sherman Dairy Bar. All right. So my first question is, can you tell me a little bit about the development of Sherman Dairy?
Well, it started back in 1916, and what it was just we had our own dairy herd of cows, mm-hmm. and they would go ahead and milk the cows and then bottle it and deliver it house to house.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes with trucks, but we also had like horse and wagons back then too.
Oh yeah.
So that was 1916. And then that was the first generation of Sherman family. Then they had four boys, and they started working in the dairy and eventually, you know, started upgrading, become, you know, more technology, you know, as far as, you know, what they do as far as bottom, but it was still just milk and byproducts. And then finally, back in the 1950s, they started to develop the ice cream. And we opened our dairy bar in 1958, so it's
okay.
Been, you know, better than 60 years now.
Okay.
So that the dairy bar has been open.
The first generation of Sherman Dairy is where the significance is at. Comparisons between Grandma's childhood and Bob's account shows the time significance. Milk delivery in the 1960s seems to be the kickoff for all the characters in my story, leading eventually up into the ice cream business in the 1950s.
Okay, so when did you expand the building?
The building has been expanded a number of times. The last time I counted, it was about like 12 different times. The most recent was in 1989 when we made a new freezer. It's a 40 by 60 foot freezer.
Okay, so was Walmart originally part of the property?
No, there was 300 acres that was all, you know, around that, you know, that's where the cows were.
Yeah.
And then they also, you know, farmed. They made some corn and some beans and some things like that. But they got out of the milk business in 1971, I believe it is, but they decided to stop, you know.
Do you know why?
You know, the dairies just keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and it's very difficult for smaller companies to, you know, they usually just get bought out and sucked up. It's just very, very capital intensive, and then they got away from the house delivery and started going to supermarkets.
Okay.
And so those, you know, those types of things all played in hand in you know, the attrition of the number of dairies. I don't know how many dairies there were in South Haven, but I'm sure there was more than one.
Yeah.
And, you know, now, you know, there's probably in the state of Michigan, actually milk processing plants, there's probably less than 10.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
But they're huge.
Yeah.
Bob explains why Sherman's is not in the milk business anymore and started making ice cream instead, but now is the big shock coming up.
So when did the Blue Moon ice cream come around?
You know, and I really don't know. It's you know, I've been here since 1985, and it's been a staple, you know, for, you know, well before that. And the recipe hasn't changed. We keep making the same one.
Okay.
Some people have tried to pin, you know, the creation of Blue Moon on us.
Yep.
And I really can't claim that. I don't know that for sure that that has happened. Yep. But.
Is Bob being humble or sincere? After saying that Sherman's does not take credit for the recipe, he stumbles a bit with his words. Right after Bob said that Sherman's cannot take credit for coming up with the recipe for Blue Moon, his knowledge about anything involving Blue Moon is becoming less and less. The next statement confirms that when I ask about how many people claim to be the inventors of the flavor.
Others claim to be the inventors of Blue Moon ice cream.
I couldn't tell you. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, you know.
While conversing with Bob, I thought about his answer about Blue Moon ice cream. How would he not know how many people claim to be the inventors of Blue Moon? I'm sure many would love to take credit for that. To connect the rest of Bob's account with my grandma's story, he mentions the distribution of Sherman's ice cream. Specific locations are given around Michigan, which plays a significant part in the podcast.
So are you in control of where Sherman ice cream is at? Because I've seen it all the way as Decatur that they have Sherman's ice cream.
Yes, we don't have any. We have one distributor besides ourselves, and that's over in Chicago, and he just takes care of a handful of accounts over that way.
Okay.
The rest of the accounts, you know, we take care of ourselves. So as a result, we have total control on where it goes.
Okay.
One of the things that we do is that we offer a degree of exclusivity. So in other words, like you mentioned, the store in Decatur,
mm-hmm.
you know, he's the only one that serves Sherman's. Okay. Mm-hmm. If another account in Decatur would say, you know, hey, we'd like to have Sherman's.
Yeah.
You know, we would tell them no, you know, because we think that what we have is something special.
Yeah.
And if everybody has it, mm-hmm. it's not so special.
Yeah. So is it just Michigan? Like, how state-wise is there Sherman ice cream?
We go as far north as Grand Haven. Well, actually, we go a little bit farther north up Muskegon, a little farther than that, and then over into Grand Rapids, and then we come down, you know, over into Kalamazoo, Battle Creek, and Marshall, and that way. And then, like I said, we have a handful of accounts in the greater Chicago area, but most of our growth in the last 2 years has been northern Indiana.
Okay.
In fact, we actually go as far south as Indianapolis.
Okay, so.
If there's one distributor of the ice cream flavors, how would great-grandma have gotten a hold of this then? A free pass for the restaurants in South Haven? All the various locations Bob mentioned, they must have had some qualifications to receive Sherman's ice cream. Comparing Grandma's milk story to Bob's account, I think it's safe to say that the start of the milk business slowly transitioning into ice cream matches up with the beginning of Great-Grandma's tale of being the inventor of Blue Moon ice cream. When Grandma tells us about her story of the milk being delivered to their house, it is possible for Sherman's to be that business. The date the Tragna brothers became instituted in 1947 was when Sherman's ice cream started to come around in 1950, but there is no evidence that my great-grandma was the source of the invention of that fruity flavor. Whatever made her decide to tell her family that she was the root of the invention, I'm not positive. Maybe just a folklore to pass down to her children and so forth. The universe probably let me be able to tell this story to others to let them know what happened, or it was just destined to happen.